Instagram stories for Wednesday, February 25th. I'm your host, Daniel Hill. Today on the show, the head of Instagram stops by to explain the myth that the following tab is going away is a lie. If you're not familiar with what the following tab is, good news, we'll explain it. Don't worry. Additionally, the YouTube team rolls out voice replies. So if you get a comment on a YouTube post that you've made, you can now reply with an audio comment using your voice. You don't have to type it, but the viewer can see a transcript of it, and it's a great way to respond authentically very quickly. We'll also review a social media benchmarks report from a company called Amplify, where they analyzed over 200,000 branded social media profiles to understand the average follower growth, post engagement, best performing post types, and more. Plus, after the music, I will do Wednesday Waffle, where I talk about another topic that may or may not be related to social media. All of that on today's episode, but first, a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Let's start with the Instagram news. The head of Instagram busts the myth that the following tab is going away. If you're not familiar with the following tab, it allows you to see a feed of only content from the people that you follow. So if you feel like your Instagram feed is full of content that you didn't ask for, which you can always turn off, you have the option to see only content from the people who you've chosen to see content from. That's called the following feed. If you tap the little Instagram logo in the top left corner, you can select following and then see that content. People have suggested that it's going away, but the head of Instagram says that is not true at all.
Quick myth bust. There's a rumor going around that we're going to get rid of the following feed. Now, the following feed is a feed of posts from all the accounts that you follow in chronological order. It is not the default experience because when it is, a few accounts tend to post the most and then crowd everything else out. But if you want to get to it, you can get to it by just tapping on the logo at the top of the screen, says Instagram, and then following is one of the options. It is there and it's not going away. I'm not sure where the rumor started, but I wanted to make sure I cleared things up. Hopefully this helps. Peace.
All right, now let's move on to the YouTube news, which has to do with voice replies. This is a new feature that the team has added so you can reply to comments by using your own voice. People can listen to your voice as a reply, and also they can read the transcript if they want. Here's Lauren from the YouTube Creator Insider team to explain.
We're happy to announce that the voice replies feature, which enables creators to reply to comments on their videos with their voice, is now available to all creators. Creators can now record a voice reply to comments from the YouTube main app or Studio Mobile on Android and iOS. The goal is to make it easier for creators to show appreciation and connect with their fans in a more personal way.
I think this is an interesting feature. I'm not sure that I would personally use it, but I think it's good to give that option to creators, and you can pick if you want to use this option or you want to write a comment back like you normally do. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the strategy portion of the episode, where we review a social media benchmarks report indicating that TikTok has the biggest growth for brands and organic reach is slowing on Instagram. Stick around. Welcome back. Let's dive into some social media strategy. The team at Amplify have released their latest social media benchmarks report, where they analyzed over 200,000 branded social media profiles so that they could get insight into average follower growth, post engagement, best performing post types, and more. I will link to the entire report, but here are some of the highlights. First, in terms of audience growth, Amplify's data shows that brands saw the biggest growth on TikTok, where median brand follower counts rose by more than 200% year over year in 2025. This reflects the rising popularity of TikTok and its role as a key cultural force, which is definitely something we've seen over the past couple of years. TikTok also drove high engagement per post, showing the potential of spending time building content for TikTok. Since TikTok is entertainment focused, content has to be created in a way that aligns with the platform's usage and engagement. But the data that Amplify put in this report shows that TikTok does hold significant reach potential for brands with the right approach. This report also looked at Instagram's performance over time and how organic reach is drying up for all post types on the platform. This is not surprising to anyone. Obviously, there's a lot of competition on Instagram, but the report from Amplify notes that both Facebook and Instagram, quote, continue to anchor overall audience scale for brands, end quote. What does that mean? The report also details, quote, Instagram shows steady mid-single digit median follower growth while Facebook remains largely flat, reinforcing both platforms' roles as reliable reach drivers rather than primary growth accelerators, end quote. Okay, the key takeaway, Instagram's going to give you slow, steady follower growth, but it's not going to be a huge explosion. The report also detailed performance by post type on Instagram. The categories there would be carousel, reel, or just a image. And based on performance, carousels performed the best, followed by reels. I don't think that's anything shocking, nothing we haven't talked about on this show before, but it's really good to get these reminders periodically. I will link to this entire report so you can check it out for yourself. I think the graphics really tell a very good story at a glance, so you don't have to read the whole report. Okay, that is it for today's news strategy. If you would like to hear me talk about another topic that may or may not be related to social media, stick around after the music.
Let me tell you a couple things that you should know about me. A product manager, but do not have a bachelor's degree. But actually, that's factually a fraction of me. Another fraction's posting content, irregular and irrationally. Still probably won't get a job at the gram. They forgot, they don't know, or don't care who I am. Ooh. That's why you never see me at the parties and events. My lack of followers must make me irrelevant. Yeah. Don't have a course, a book to sell to make a bag of grand. Not a social media marketer, don't represent any brands. Plain to see, don't have an agency. But I got a lot of spam, just put in my work without the glitz and glam. Won't catch me eating fish unless it's shrimp or clam. No six pack, no risk, that there's a gym card in my hand. Don't have a full time job, but I got a lot of plans. Stay plotting, dropping knowledge on TikTok and Instagram.
Oh hey, thanks for sticking around to hear me talk about something else. The topic I want to talk about today is Snapchat. I typically do not cover Snapchat on the show. I would like to. It's hard to find Snapchat news. It's even harder to find clips from people who work at the platform. I did recently find a couple of clips of the CEO, Evan Spiegel, talking on a few different topics, but he made a blog post about the social media ban for children under 16 in Australia. And I want to just highlight this blog post. I don't agree with everything in it, but I do want to give Evan a little bit of time and attention on the show. Hey, if I give it to Adam Mosseri, if I give it to Mark Zuckerberg, let's give it to Evan Spiegel too, okay? So in this blog post, and I'm just going to read a couple of quotes. 2 months ago, Australia implemented a sweeping restriction on social media use. The social media minimum age law bans anyone under 16 from select social platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat. It is a massive experiment with high stakes, and one the rest of the world is watching closely as countries in Europe and elsewhere consider similar measures. Evan Spiegel goes on to say, to comply with this law, we have locked or disabled more than 415,000 Australian accounts belonging to people we believe are under 16. We continue locking accounts daily and are working with the Australian eSafety Commissioner to meet the requirements prescribed by this law. Now, here's the part that I want to dig into a little bit more. He says, here's what should concern all of us. Compliance with the law does not guarantee that Australian teens will be safer or better off. It is not yet possible to say for certain. But there are clear gaps that call into question the law's efficacy, and I believe the downsides are going to mount and become more visible over time. He goes on to explain, first, the new law regulates only select platforms while leaving thousands of other apps unregulated, meaning it may push teens toward less safe alternatives. When teens lose access to their preferred messaging channel, they aren't going to stop communicating. They are going to find other ways to talk through lesser known apps that offer fewer safety protections. I want to pause here and say, I do agree with that sentiment. If you prevent teens from using the platform that they are comfortable using, they will find another route. I think that's true of all humans, whether they're teens or not. He goes on to say, quote, second, the technical realities are challenging. Australia's own government trial found that age estimation technology is highly imperfect and often off by 2 or 3 years, particularly when it's applied to younger users. Some under 16s will get through the gate. Some over 16s will be incorrectly locked out. At the scale at which we operate, it will be difficult to achieve 100% accuracy. Third, stripping teens of this source of connection may not be the healthiest option. Research published in JAMA Pediatrics found that moderate social media use appears to support adolescent well-being, especially for Australian teens in grades 7 to 12. According to this research, the optimal approach appears to be thoughtful engagement and moderation, not total prohibition. I'm going to stop there, but it's clear that since he leads a social media platform, removing users from that platform are not in the best interests of the company looking to grow and to expand. However, later in the article, he straight up says, "To be clear, I don't believe Snapchat should be subject to a ban in the first place. I don't believe cutting teens off from these relationships makes them safer or advances their well-being." End quote. I'm going to say that I do not agree with that statement, but I do think it's important to keep talking about what is the best way to ensure that teens can use social media safely and not exposing them to all the corporate marketing and manipulation that clearly is done by all the social media companies. I have more to say on this topic, but I think it's just a really good reminder to be very aware of how your teens are using social media and for all of us to look at how Australia has implemented this law and if it's going to help teens in the long run. My money is that it will. I think social media companies will always say that it's not, but this is an important thing to notice. Okay, thank you for listening to me talk about a slightly different topic because I usually don't talk about Snapchat.